Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me, as always, is Filippo Dinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Logie. Say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah. This, of course, episode is going to be for July 28, 2017, going to be the last show of the month. And there are weeks when nothing happens, and honestly, I'm kind of starting to pine for those.
Yeah, because this week, all of the things happened.
Yeah, it's just, not only did we have just the shit show that was just Donald Trump in his very public downward spiral, but also the absolute shit show that was the attempt at the Obamacare repeal, which absolutely failed.
Yeah.
We also had some new folks showing up in the Trump administration. We lost a very beloved voice actor. But we also got some fun stuff. We did get some stuff from the San Diego Comic-Con, where we basically ended up just drowning in trailers.
As you do.
Yeah. And, of course, we got some other nice stuff, too, including a new project from none other than Matt Groening.
Yeah.
Mr.
Simpsons himself.
And Futurama. Yeah. And it actually sounds really good, believe it or not. But
I want Life in Hell back.
Yeah, I think everybody wants a little bit of Life in Hell back. Mm.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it is. So before we jump into all that mess, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I've been listening to a crap ton of music. I got the Transistor soundtrack on vinyl in today, and I listened to the whole thing. It's good stuff, as the Transistor soundtrack is. As far as the vinyl release goes, I have a couple of complaints, but they're not major. It's mostly, for the price that they're offering, they could have at least put the albums in polyline sleeves instead of just paper.
Oh.
It's like, seriously, guys?
Oh, damn it.
So I have to re-sleeve that as soon as I get in another pack of MoFi sleeves. But beyond that, it's very nice, hard gatefold. So one of those glossy cardboard, very nice with the Transistor artwork on it. The albums themselves are clear vinyl, so you can kind of see through them. That's what clear means, folks. You can see through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, listen to that. It's really good. Don't really have to say too much about Transistor. We all know it's amazing.
Yeah.
Other than that, well, kind of taken to, since I got a big box of CDs this week, ended up with a bunch of stuff, like 10 Tragically Hip albums.
Mm.
Yeah.
Timely.
So I'm going to go through all that. I think the only one I'm missing is Fully Completely, so I'll have to pick that up soon. But other stuff in that box was Miles Davis's Kind of Blue. So, yeah, that's kind of kindled my liking of jazz.
So it'll do it.
Yeah, this is going to get interesting very quickly, I suspect. Because as far as music snobs go, the jazz people, they tend to be a cut above everybody, I'd say.
They are the absolute most insufferable jackasses on the face of the planet.
So, yeah, I think I'll kind of try to skirt the edges of that, but yeah.
Like, seriously, just they...
Love the product, not the fandom.
Yeah.
It's, the product is great, but the jazz fans will fucking go to war over a slight key change.
Yeah.
Like, okay, everybody knows who Miles Davis is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so like in, I think it was the late 60s, early 70s, he came out with this album called Bitches Brew. Hmm. And it's basically considered to be the origin of the fusion genre. Hmm. And people fucking hated it when it came out. I mean, they hated it. Because he decided to actually bring in, some electric basses and guitars into the mix.
Yeah.
And You know, it gave it a electric sheen, more sort of. It was still very much a Miles Davis jazz record, but it had, you know, elements from like modern rock and pop and R&B.
Yeah.
And people were not happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the album still managed to be one of the biggest selling of his career, so yeah. Go figure.
Yeah.
But like even today, you'll go on Amazon and look at reviews for Bitches Brew, and you'll find these insufferable assholes who, you know, are like, I got into jazz because I wanted to be better than everybody else. You know, that type of shit.
Yeah. See, I want to avoid that. So, but, yeah, I think I'll be listening to more of that. But, yeah, trying to stay away from those people. Yeah. Apart from that, well, I started playing Pyre, and it's amazing, and it's also kind of buggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
it's
sure.
It's the greatest, you know, adventure fantasy basketball game you'll ever play.
Yeah, it really is, until it crashes.
Yeah.
Over and over again. Yeah, seriously, I had it crash on me like 5 times in a row.
Yeah.
Ooh. Same spot.
Finally. I'm sure there's a patch coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just saw Digital Foundry just reported the same exact crashes. Right.
Yeah.
So. Supergiant isn't the type to let that ride.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to hopefully getting that all, you know, fixed and sorted out, so I don't really have to worry about whether it's going to crash in the middle of a match and set me back a whole bunch. So, yeah, because it does have an autosave, but it tends to, like, it saves at right before, like when you get to a certain spot, and then after you you beat the match, and then it'll save. Mm. But if you do anything in the interim, you don't save. So, yeah, I'm expecting that to get sorted out. And other than that, well, it's great. I'll talk more. We'll talk extensively about it on Sunday when we have Sid Alpha on. He's gonna join us for a special guest episode, so it's going to be kind of fun.
It happened so quickly that this is the first we're saying of it.
Yeah,
it just materialized.
Yeah, well, I kind of just asked him, and then he said, okay, and so, yep, that's kind of a thing.
He managed to shoot the shit for a couple hours.
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure how long he's going to be able to stay on there, but we'll see. Other than that, some random stuff here and there. Just got my talking book player set up, so I expect to be using that quite a bit now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so be able to, you know, go out and listen to my books on the porch and not have to be stuck inside in the house anymore. So that'd be nice.
Huh?
Yeah, other than that, you know, what else? Listening to, I already did all my listening tos. Watching a lot of Babylon 5. Really, really enjoying that show. That first season, yeah, it was kind of a slog, but it really picked up in the second. It's good. Very, very good. Hopefully the rumors of that possibly coming back turn out to be true, because...
Whoa, really?
Yeah, there's been kind of rumblings that Straczynski really would want to do it, if there's enough interest to it, then it might happen. I suspect all the box sets that are being sold may kind of help in that respect. So, so we'll see how that goes.
Keep in mind, though, that they've been saying that off and on for the last decade or so.
Yeah.
So
this is true. Yeah. Possibly wonder if they do that just to sell box sets. You know,
it might be possible.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't really surprise me too much. So. And other than that, well, yeah, not much. So that's been my week, but how about you, Pat?
Lots of streaming, lots of Final Fantasy XIV. Started a new character on Goblin Server. And because of Brandon, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And decided that I would bring in another character from a game development project that I'm working on off and on. Eventually, I'm sure that most of the major cast will end up in Eorzea in one way or another. But, four years plus that A Realm Reborn has been out at this point, I think.
Mm.
This is my first time playing a mage class.
Mm.
So that's a thing. But other than that, I've just been streaming and trying to get around to doing all the things that I've been putting off.
Yeah.
While I was dealing with this recent bout of depression and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just having fun going through the earlier content again.
Mm. Yeah, see, because it's all completely new to me, so...
Yeah. Oh, I wish I could experience all this stuff for the first time again, but...
Yeah.
That being said, I'm still having a blast, and I didn't realize just how much foreshadowing was going on in the earliest chapters. Yoshida's team has a little bit of Falcom in them, I think.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's like they had the story planned out ahead of time. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So. All
right. Well, all right, Chris, what about you?
So much like Phil, I've been playing a lot of Pyre. I haven't had any crashes, so that's been working just fine for me.
See, now you triggered the flag.
Yeah.
Get ready. When you sign on there again...
Yeah, you just kind of jinxed yourself, dude.
Sure thing. I've been enjoying playing the whole part of the game. It's like, where is Logan Cunningham's voice? And I figured out it's the narrator. He does a really good job with that. But also, there's one of the characters that he is controlling. I don't know if you've gotten to him yet, Phil. But everybody speaks in their own language.
Yeah.
But he speaks in English just for at least one line. Mm. I was like, oh, there's Logan right there. That's the Logan voice.
Yeah.
But then he stopped speaking in English. Like, God damn it. Yeah. I just want to hear that voice. It's really cool that he is not just doing, oh, hey, I'm Logan.
Yeah.
With a really nice deep voice. Cause the narrator is a really great voice. Mm. And it's good to have, good to hear some evidence that he has got some range.
Yeah.
And it really makes me wish American Gladiators had that type of mode in it. Because they have one that's kind of like that, except it's just one contestant versus one gladiator trying to get the ball from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And they're both kind of going opposite directions. It's like, it would have been cool if there's like a team of gladiators against a team of the contestants, and they're trying to score and get points.
Yeah.
By the way, I just before you go on, I just have to ask: was there any indication at all that this was going to be the primary play mechanic for this game?
Yeah, that's been what they've talked about for a while.
Okay, then I'm a complete idiot.
It was very much described as like, oh, they're making like medieval NBA Jam or Rocket League sort of thing, and we're trying to figure out like, what the hell is that mean?
Yeah.
Like the thing I like is that it's kind of like their version of like Knight's Tale, where it's sort of like the traveling knight going to tournaments. Yeah. Except instead of tournaments, it's these rights matches. And some of the people that you're fighting are pretty interesting. Like, have you gotten to the punk dudes?
No, not yet.
Okay. They got a great theme to them when you listen to them, but like all the music is string instruments.
Yeah.
So it gives that kind of like medieval fantasy kind of vibe to it. That's really cool. And you open up a little thing that you can actually listen to some of the music in-game. They've done a really good job with it, and I should have the review up this weekend.
Cool.
As for other stuff, I've been playing more... Marvel Heroes Omega, which I noticed the other day that they changed the PC version to that name. So it's no longer Marvel Heroes 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Are getting the yearly name change until that one, but now it's Marvel Heroes Omega across all three. And they put out a new VIP thing where if you spend any money on any of the packs, the character packs, or G's, you become a VIP. So I just put in $5 on that for the smallest packages. And you get Nightcrawler right away. unlocked for you, who is exclusive till like another week or so. Okay. So I saw a bunch of people playing as him, just warping around a lot, and that looks pretty fun. As far as like having played a bunch of Daredevil, not being a huge fan of him, just being kind of slow and not much range to him, that looks like more fun. Just be able to warp people around towards you or away from you, whatever you need. Mm-hmm. You get 5% bonus experience and coins. You get 5 Eternity Splinters every day you log in. Mm-hmm. And you obviously get like that daily manifest you can trade in for like 1,000 XP if you're donating it, or 1,000 coins if you want that. Mm-hmm. And I forget what else. There's like a couple other things. But it's pretty good stuff for like the $5 I put in.
Yeah.
Mm. So that was pretty cool. I was playing more, and they finally fixed that bug where I mentioned before, where I beat the campaign with Captain, and then it broke the campaign for every other character I wanted to use.
Oh, so you can go back and just go through the campaign again.
Yeah, now I was playing with Squirrel Girl, and it's like, oh, you're in Chapter 2. I was like, wait, what? Oh, now she's like level 20 going through early game content. So not having much trouble.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's still pretty fun. I especially like just when you're between the instance dungeons, and there's like you're running around with like 5 to 10 people just fucking up every enemy that's around, and then just chaos is raining as their like little special effects just going all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been pretty good. I was trying to play the not Pillars of Eternity, Path of Exile.
Hmm.
It almost feels like all these RPGs are just using a Diablo name generator.
Kind of.
Because it's like, oh, here's Marvel Heroes Omega, here's Pillars of Eternity, Path of Exile. I'm losing track of what all the others are.
Mm-hmm.
Divinity of Sin.
Hmm.
It's all just weird names. I was trying to play Path of Exile, but I guess if you're even downloading anything, it just disconnects.
Yeah. Oof.
It's that much of an online required game.
Yeah.
And I was downloading, I was trying to download Doom.
Oh.
Because I purchased the digital version at 70.
Yeah, I can see that not going well.
Yep.
And it's like, no, we're not letting you play this. I got to kill the first enemy. That was all I could play.
It's like,
we lost connection.
We need all of the bandwidth.
Yeah. Which is not great when the Xbox One dashboard is already kind of buggy as it is. Because I was getting that, oh, it took too long to start thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I got to restart the whole thing because it's just going to refuse to play anything now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got Doom since that was on sale for $15. What else? I got into the Lawbreakers beta since that's out now. I was downloading that, which is 18 gigs. And I was trying to download the update for Dungeon Defenders 2, which was like 10.5 gigs. I was like, I'm in big download city today.
Yeah.
I still got another 25 gigs to go on Doom.
Hope you don't have bandwidth caps.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's just slower internet, so it takes a while.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll play tomorrow night Doom. I was playing some more Dragon Quest VIII. Not feeling bad about looting all these people's homes when they're extremely racist at the very beginning of the game. when you see the former king, who is now kind of Piccolo looking, and the town freaks out over him, is like, monster, and he's like speaking English, he's not attacking anybody, not doing anything, he just looks different, and I'm just running from house to house like, ah, what's in your cupboards, what's in your sacks, I'm getting all your stuff. And I got out into the open and the very beginning, there's just enemies everywhere. And you can't pause it. So you can go to pull out the menus, but enemies are still running around. You can get attacked from behind and whatnot.
Hmm.
But so far it's been pretty good. I just kind of wish that was on like PS4, so it actually looked really good.
Hmm.
As that game kind of deserves. Otherwise, the ground textures and such all kind of look eh.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's been pretty good. I picked up Dragon Quest VII from Best Buy the other day. Haven't started it yet. I figure I got enough time until 11 comes out.
Yeah.
I don't have to rush through these Dragon Quest games. I was doing something cool on True Trophies. They had a challenge called the Alphabet Challenge, where they challenge you to get a trophy for every letter of the alphabet. You didn't have to do it in direct order, like A, then B, then C. You could get stuff in between as long as you got an A, then a B, then a C. So it's not that bad, though. Like, X was the worst letter.
Yeah.
There's not that many. And so I had to get the one in Defense Grid. We had to kill 50,000 aliens, which takes a while. I was just doing Grinder and Super Grinder challenges on easy.
Yeah.
And eventually got it. And then I got the last few, and it was pretty good. It was a nice little challenge to do, and it was the first one they've done. I think the True Achievements has also done that. So it would be nice if they do some more stuff like that, because that's a pretty neat way to... Though people come up with their own stuff, like, just start all your games, and it'll tank your percentage, and you got to build it back up. It's like... No, I'm good. My percentage is still under like 30%, just because I don't try and get all the trophies in every game if I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've also been doing a bunch of YouTube stuff. Been doing a ton of YouTube uploading this week, which doesn't help when you're trying to download stuff as well. So yeah, on the sites we got 2-part Destiny beta stuff. The second part is all the multiplayer and the strike, which the new multiplayer mode they have in that is not great. That or they don't explain it that well in the beta, because I didn't really enjoy it. It's kind of like there's 2 points, and somebody has to kind of activate one of them, and then they have to defend it, or you just kill everybody on the other team before they kill all of you. The great thing about not enjoying is it went the full distance.
Oh.
I think it's you have to get the 6 wins. Joy. So we were down like 4-1, and it went all the way to 6-5, and we won. I was like, I don't know what's going on, really, and somehow it keeps going. And then I was doing the strike, and my 2 teammates decided to fuck off for the first 5 minutes. So I'm sitting here going to the actual checkpoints and killing enemies. And I'm like, where are they at? Their little icons are way on the other side of the map. I was like, you guys took a wrong turn, or you've played this enough that you don't give a fuck. And now I'm sitting here getting killed all the time because I'm trying to fight 20 guys by myself. Eventually they came back over, but I was just like, oh, this is going to go bad. But it went well, and yeah, I'm looking forward to the full game. What else do we have? We had 2 VR videos, since there's like 5 of them that came out this past week. There was Super Hot VR, which I mentioned before. That's really good. And Theseus, which is sort of a twist on the Greek mythology on Theseus, of how he kills the Minotaur in the big maze, or the labyrinth. And here it's kind of a bit more of a scary version of that. He's been corrupted and looks pretty fucked up. And so you're trying to get rid of the corruption or kill him or something. I don't know. But in the video, I am waving a torch down this dark little corridor, and these freaky-looking spider monsters are jumping at me. So I had to sit there and wave the torch to ward them off. And that was almost too much for me. I was like, I don't want the spiders, much less them coming at me, and they're fucked up looking. I got past that, and hopefully that's it. It's not supposed to be a long game, so hopefully I don't see the spider monsters ever again. But basically, it took me like the full 30-minute video just to get the sword where it's supposedly going to be able to fight back at stuff. What else do we have on the site? I put up a bunch of stuff at once. Let's see. Yeah, there's Theseus, Super Hot, Destiny. Oh, yeah, the Pyre video is up there.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. I've seen a lot of people even when there's like a video like that saying, I don't know what this game is. It's like, it's kind of, you're just doing like visual novel stuff and then you do the, make choices and then play some of the game.
Yeah.
That's kind of, because it's not like that's the right stuff is the all of it.
Mm.
It's more of a smaller part of it. But a lot of the story stuff is the focus on that. Mm. As for my personal YouTube stuff, the Freeload video I put up this week was for America's Army Proving Grounds.
Oh, dear.
Which was pretty neat. Mm. The weird thing is when I tried to load into the matchmaking, it tries to reserve space on, I guess, like dedicated servers, and it fails every single one of them. So the matchmaking takes like a few minutes longer than it should.
Yeah.
It eventually gets you into a match just fine, but it's like, don't show me this part where it's failing and makes it look like your servers are broken.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, if the shoe fits.
Yeah. But the game works pretty well. It's very much like you'd expect a more realistic multiplayer shooter, which I saw like on their Twitter account. They were getting a lot of SOCOM people.
Hmm.
Giving them good stuff, good comments and all that.
Yeah,
there's like, a series I'm surprised we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah,
you know, that happens when get rid of the developer.
Yeah,
And yeah, I saw a lot of SOCOM fans when that happened, like cheering. Somehow they thought like, oh, we'll get a new developer that's better. It's like, no, that was your one chance at the series continuing, and it went out the door.
Yep.
And you're happy their jobs are lost. So have fun with that.
Hmm.
I get to beg on the PlayStation blog for a remaster of SOCOM 2 for the rest of time. For the VR game I did this week, Unearthing Mars, which is a game that has a bad reputation. I saw why. Yeah. It's kind of boring. It seems like it's trying to do a more realistic take on like humanity doing a mission to Mars for the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They do a lot of monologuing.
Ugh.
And it's not interesting at all. The character models aren't great. Mm. The lip sync is bad on it. And like when you get into the ship to start going down to Mars, the woman captain that is sitting with you, she's just like talking about like romanticizing man going to Mars. Mm. I was like, let's just go to the damn planet. Yeah. We got plenty of time. And surprise, surprise, things go bad.
Yeah.
And you got to survive. And the weird thing when you get to actually drive like the little rover ship that you're driving around in, you're like the move controllers that you're holding are kind of like RC controllers.
Okay.
Which is weird. You steer by steering them, but you're only holding like the right trigger for gas, left trigger for brake. It's a very weird thing. But yeah, it's not great, but I got it on sale, so it wasn't too bad.
Hmm.
I got to make a video out of it, so that helps. But I think it's like 10 chapters, and I was on 5 by the end of the 30 minutes.
Hmm.
So it's not supposed to be very long. So
yeah, probably about an hour.
It's bingeable.
Yeah. I need to finish that up. And the anniversary I celebrated this week was Splosion Man.
Hmm.
I turned 8. I think 8, yeah. 2009.
Hmm.
And the thing that was most surprising about that is they didn't have any of the bonus stuff in that.
Hmm.
I'd forgotten that was Comic Jump was the first one like that.
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta show you guys the ending of this. The actual like FMV ending, because that's ridiculous. And it's like, nope, can't get that.
Hmm.
You can get gamer picks and themes you can unlock.
Yep.
I was like, oh, that's great for Xbox One.
Themes don't work.
Yeah. And trying to play the boss, ever having not played the game for at least like 5 or 6 years, that's not great. But I do like the boss, the final boss, which is like this giant meat monster.
Hmm.
You're getting him to break these platforms and plunge his hands into hot frying oil. And so it gets, his arms get fried. He's like, mmm, tasty. Eats his arms. And he's got four arms, so you gotta
do that for
survive four times. And if you die, you have to start all the way at the beginning.
Oh, great.
So I was like, oh, God. Fucking this is not going to be something I'm doing on video.
No.
So I quit and was like, ah, there's a prologue for Mistposure Man that they released later on. It's like, no, I have to back out and go into like the manage game thing to download it.
Yep.
Like, oh, we're not doing that either. I wish I would have known that, but yeah, that was pretty good. It was a really fun game to play, and makes me wonder when the hell we're going to see what Twisted Pixel's been working on. Cause they released Loco Cycle at the beginning of the generation, and they've been silent since.
Yep.
Outside of getting out of Microsoft's ownership. Mm. Yeah, that's been pretty much my whole week. Mm. How about you, Brandon?
All right, well, yeah, so this week my primary gaming has been Final Fantasy XIV. I finally went, yeah,
welcome.
Finally went and got it. I went and got the complete edition, which has A Realm Reborn, Heavensward, and Stormblood. I don't know why I keep wanting to call it Bloodstorm.
Buy me Bloodstorm or go to hell.
Yeah. But basically, it's all three of those. It's basically all the content that
all of
has
the Final
been,
Fantasy 14.
All that's been made up to that point for $59.99. It took me a little while to finally be able to play it because I had to load, well, 4 years of content onto my PS4, so I had to deal with all those patches.
Yeah.
Especially
I told you it was going to be bad.
Yeah.
Especially since it has to do it inside the client.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not like any other PS4 game where it's like, oh, you start installing it.
Hmm.
It'll finish in the background. No, you got to load it up and then wait.
Yep.
Yeah.
And wait.
Yeah, wait. So... But the good thing, at least, is that if you get cut off, it does actually, you know, save how much you had gotten up to that point. So
Yeah, and it'll pick up where it left off. So.
But it did finally finish loading, and I finally got to play it. And so immediately right off the bat, there were two things I loved about this. Number one, I didn't have to talk to anybody.
Nope.
You can go do an entire, you know, a dungeon with a party, and you don't have to talk to anyone at all. You know. And, I mean, I've gotten a few player recommendations, so...
That's good.
Yeah.
Doing well.
Yeah, so I've done, like, two of those dungeons so far. I'm about to do a third. So,
Sestasha and Tomtara, right?
No, it was... Sestasha was the first one. The other one was the Deepcroft.
Yeah, Tomtara.
Yeah, that's right. Third
and
one's
going
to be...
that starts off a whole story arc that will last into Heaven's Ward.
Yeah. And you can... And I love the fact that, you know, in Tomtara, the boss is literally a mind flayer. from freaking Dungeons & Dragons.
Well... And Final Fantasy, because they existed there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to the original.
Yeah. Yeah. Little known fact, the original Final Fantasy is kind of sort of a ripoff of the of Dungeons & Dragons Edition 1.
Just kind of a little bit.
Just a little. Just a small part. But I also love the fact that the game is really... actually really easy to get the handle of pretty quickly. I was actually kind of worried that it was going to take me a while to get a hold of the game's mechanics, but no, it's actually pretty easy.
What do you think of the control scheme for game pads? That was one of the stumbling blocks for MMOs on console for a long time, and I think Naoki Yoshida has done a good job towards solving it.
Using a controller has actually... It's actually the really the only small problem I've had is that If you're like in a big battle with like a bunch of different enemies, it can sometimes be difficult to switch between different enemies on the fly, but I've managed to work around that, so it's not really a problem. So basically what happens in the game is that you're basically an adventurer, and you start off, you know, you get to choose, you know, create your own character, and then depending on whatever job you decide to start out as, so like, you know, I started out as a lancer, wherever your guild is located, it'll will be where you start the game. So it just so happened that I was going to be a lancer, so I started out in Gridania, which is basically old school Final Fantasy personified.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started in the desert town with my main when I started. Mm-hmm.
And the best part about starting off in Gridania is that you get mentored by Mother Mione.
Who is awesome.
Who is the sweetest person in the entire game.
Did you notice the story at the very, very beginning?
Yeah, that's basically the end of the original Final Fantasy XIV. Yeah,
they're like, oh, people just lost their memories and we woke up now. So that never happened.
5 years later.
And a good chunk,
which was, I mean, the reason Louis Soir did that is because he didn't want anyone coming back while Bahamut was still raising hell all over the Eorzea.
Mm. Yep.
I mean, it was a temper tantrum so severe that they have to redraw the map.
Yep.
And it's like, hey, how do we get the taste out of the last game out of this?
Yeah. Ironic that in your usual Final Fantasies, the very first thing that you manage to summon also happens to be the thing that ends up basically destroying the freaking world.
Yep.
By the way, you go around this game, you can tell that something serious happened because you can see pieces of it everywhere.
Uh-huh. Well, you can actually tell in the landscape the damage that Bahamut did.
Mm-hmm. Basically what eventually happens is eventually you do good enough in your particular area of the game that you become an envoy. That gives you the ability to get on the airships and travel to the other two main places, which is Limsalamansa, basically the coastal city.
Yep.
That's on water, and
whose leader I guaranteed, if she isn't your favorite character yet, she probably will be for quite some time.
Yeah, and then the other one is Ulda, which is basically a desert city.
Yeah.
Ulda reminds me a lot, just the way it's laid out, of Sandoria in Final Fantasy XI.
Yeah. Well, see, I never played Final Fantasy XI, but yeah.
Yeah, it's basically a reskin Sandoria. Sandoria was Ulda in more of a Gridanian setting.
Hmm. And basically what happens in when you finally get over to Ulda, basically the actual story begins for real.
Yeah.
When you basically get to join the Scions of the Seventh. What is it?
Scions of the Seventh Dawn.
Yeah. Which are basically the people who are trying to get all the people with the Echo power so that they can try and they haven't really said much yet, but I'm going to take a wild guess that they're trying to get people together so they can get the crystal back together and beat Bahamut.
There's a lot more to it than that. Their purpose doesn't really have an end state.
Yeah.
They're an organization that is meant to last.
Yeah.
And they will also comprise, pretty much, in a traditional Final Fantasy game, what would be the main cast.
Gotcha. All right. And I'm also
not sure how many of them you've met at this point because I don't remember, but Papalimo and Ida.
Mm-hmm. And of course,
whose involvement with the storyline will really ramp up toward the end of Heaven's Ward and into Stormblood.
Yeah. But yeah, I met them. I met the leader. Their operative and Ulda, and also their operative in Gridania. So
Ishtola,
yeah.
Who is pretty much considered the main, like, the cover character, if there was one.
Mm.
It's why she's the Final Fantasy XIV representation in Dissidia.
Hmm.
I'm sure Thancred will be along eventually.
Hmm. But, so that's what I've been primarily playing. I've gotten up to level 22 as a Lancer. Once you reach level 30, you can actually go off and become a Dragoon.
Hmm.
But basically, there's a quest line you have to do over at the Lancer's Guild first before you can become one, but that's my primary goal at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if you stay the course as a Lancer, if you want a sort of preview of Heavensward stuff.
Mm. Okay.
Because there's a bit character in the Dragoon quest line,
mm-hmm.
who becomes a full-blown party member in Heavensward.
Gotcha.
And the dialogue actually changes if you know him already when you get to Ishgard.
Mm. All righty then. Well, so other than that, obviously I've been doing my normal reading. I finally finished the first volume of Grimgar Fantasy and Ash, which was quite good. I very much enjoyed it. I had a hard time describing it to people why that particular series is so good. And then I finally came across probably the best description ever, which is that Grimgar, at least the first volume, is about the grind.
Hmm.
Because all the people, the main characters in that series are the people who basically get thrown into, for lack of a better word, an RPG world, and they basically spend almost all of the book basically the only thing they can kill, which is goblins. In fact, people start calling them the Goblin Slayers. It's not supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because goblins are supposed to be like on the low rung of monsters you can fight in that world. But like some really serious shit happens in there. Like one of the main cast straight up dies.
Yeah.
And they have to like replace him midway through the book. really the whole point of the series is to sort of show you know, if you actually found yourself thrown into the middle of an RPG world, it would be difficult to adjust because you're basically, you know, it's not like, you know, in Sword Art Online or wherever where you go in there and you're automatically a badass.
Yeah.
No, they basically have to deal with getting used to shit through, you know, and they have like accuracy, like you'll have to read it yourself, but it's a lot of fun. What else? Oh yeah. Anybody who's seen my Facebook page, I brought this up, recently. There's this channel on YouTube, which is called, Jazz Townsend and Sons. And what it is, it combines my two favorite things in the world, which is history and cooking. Food. Mm. And what it is Jazz Townsend and Son is a store in the Northeast that specializes in providing materials for historical reenactors. Mm. Specifically, well, not except the 18th century and, you know, around the Civil War period. And so whenever they do what they call 18th century cooking, which is the primary food part of the channel, they go back to these like really old cookbooks from like the 1700s, and they will actually cook stuff. And what part of the fun is finding the surprising fact that a lot of the stuff we think is actually modern is actually a lot older. So stuff like fried chicken, they got a fried chicken recipe from like 1763 out of an English cookbook. They did another one based on onion rings. That was even earlier. So it's stuff like that. Now it's really hard to describe to people. It's one of those things you have to experience for yourself because it was really addictive.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. So that's pretty much been my week. What about, have you guys got anything else you need to add?
No, I'm good.
Not really. I just really look forward to watching you play through the story of Final Fantasy XIV. Because underneath the MMO structure that it has, it is very much a proper numbered Final Fantasy game with a proper cast and storyline.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's just that it's got kind of a sort of a MMO
structure
thing around it.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, I do believe it is now time for everyone's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this time...
I don't know what it's going to be this week.
No, you're not, because it's not what you think it is. Well, actually, no. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it now. You're right. Okay, so... this is actually something I just recently discovered. Yep. And if y'all looked on my Facebook page, y'all know what it is. But if not, I'm going to go ahead and say what it is. Okay. So, in the who here has ever seen the Supreme Court building of the United States?
Yeah, that's pretty prominent.
Building. I mean, not that you've actually been there, just...
You've seen pictures
of it. You've seen it.
Yeah.
You've seen pictures of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like a lot, if there's one thing that I can say that's actually pretty cool about a lot of our, like, old buildings in Washington, D.C., is that they really shell out the money for the good art. Mm-hmm. They get
really much architecture.
Yeah. Lots of Greco-Roman style architecture and sculpting. A lot of just little facets in places that. A lot of people don't even notice, like, you know, like that first time you noticed that the symbol of the Italian Fascist Party is all over the Supreme Court building. I'm talking about the fascists, which is the, you know, axe, you know, a bundle of rods, you know, wrapped around together with an axe in the middle of it. It's meant to symbolize the power of the magistrate and the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go into the Supreme Court building, they have what's called a frieze, a frieze. Mm-hmm. Two friezes, actually, a couple of them. A frieze is basically just a... It's a basically sort of like a 2.5-dimensional sculpture. You know, it's a flat surface with some, you know, with various historical figures carved out of it. On these particular famous lawgivers from throughout history, so you'll find people like, Moses, Hammurabi, Lycurgus, the famous lawgiver of Sparta, people like Socrates and Confucius. And if you look closely, in between both King Charlemagne and Justinian, you know, the Byzantine emperor, you will find none other than the prophet of Islam himself, Muhammad.
Oh, that was pretty
comprehensive. There he is, right there.
Yeah.
He's holding a sword and a copy of the Quran. And you're probably thinking, huh? Well, you're probably thinking, wow. Okay, so the reason this is interesting is due to the fact that, well, everybody knows about the controversies around depictions of Muhammad, right?
Yeah.
in certain sects of Islam, it is forbidden to portray Muhammad in any physical form. And which is why, specifically in Sunni Islam, Shia Muslims actually don't really care all that much. So, you know, that's the reason why, you know, you'll find a lot of, like, Shia, you know, artwork from, like, during or shortly after the time of Muhammad, and you'll see him clearly depicted. But you'll also see Sunni art from around that time where if he's depicted, he's either vaguely humanoid or he's like a glowing bright spot in the corner somewhere. You know, or just like in what they call an aureole, you know, like you know how like in Christian, how in a, you know, in Christianity when they depict a saint, you know, they'll have them with like a circle with like a halo, you know, around the head. They do the same thing for Muhammad, except instead of actually him, it's just the aureole.
Yeah,
you know, it's like usually it's either that or it's like a pillar of fire or something. So you're probably thinking, so how did this go out without, you know, not causing anybody offense or anything? Well, it actually kind of did. In 1997, what had recently been formed, the CAIR, the Council on American Islamic Relations, lodged a complaint against the State Department saying that, you know, showing any depiction of Muhammad is offensive to Muslims. Now, for the record, like I just said, it's only offensive to a certain sect of Muslims.
Yeah.
Sunni Muslims. Shia and other, you know, sects aren't as big on it.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, their CAIR is heavily involved with Saudi Arabia and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But people started bringing this up again a few years ago after, you know, the infamous Dutch cartoons. You know, and then of course there was the Draw Muhammad Day and all that stuff. And yet right here, nobody realized that, yes, an image of the Prophet of Islam was right there inside the United States Supreme Court building.
And has been there for a couple hundred years.
About 100 years, actually. This particular sculpture was installed, I think, sometime in the mid-1800s. But, it's also meant to symbolize sort of how, you know, the sort of Enlightenment liberal world sort of viewed Muhammad as, you know, a lawgiver.
Yeah.
You know, and it's usually just a good way to sort of just, you know, just give the finger to all those Islamophobic assholes who think that Islam has nothing to do with America or its history.
Yeah.
It's fun. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Okay. I knew it.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember first seeing that and, like, so, like, I've always known that, you know, there have been Muslims in the United States before it was even, you know, founded.
Yeah.
Granted, most of them were, you know, enslaved, but, you know, they were there.
Yeah.
But, you know, and once this Islamophobia bullshit started, I was like, you know, I've been trying to find bits and pieces of that, you know, trying to show that this is a part of America and has been forever.
Yeah.
You know, America is not and never has been a white man's country. And, you know, that needs, it has always been a racially diverse melting pot from the beginning of its founding.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you need to, you have to make a point to emphasize that sometimes, because humans have a short memory, and like I've said before, I once ran into somebody online who had no idea about the Jefferson Bible, who absolutely thought that I brought it up, that I was lying. I mean, you could easily go in. Like I said, you can go into the Library of Congress, and they've got a copy on display.
Yep. Yeah.
You can go to Monticello; they've got the original, journal that he used to make it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm the liar. Anyway, all right, folks, it's time for the show proper, and it's our asshole of the week. And let's be honest, there really is no contest here.
Yeah,
there wasn't, because it wasn't just one thing. It was shit piled on top of shit.
Yeah.
And it was, of course, our asshole of the week is President of the United States, at least for the time being, Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
So, oh boy, where do we begin? Well, I guess we'll begin at the first Monday. Yeah, Monday. The first big shit show he did, which is where he did the traditional presidential address at the Boy Scout Jamboree, which, for the record, is not required, and there have been presidents who haven't done it in the past. Barack Obama, for example, didn't do it. Well, he did once. He didn't do them for both of his terms.
I think he made a video, essentially, for them to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, the Boy Scouts have a certain standard, obviously you can talk about the shit that they did in the past, like the homophobia and the, banning atheists and transgendered people. As far as I know, they still ban atheists, but...
They finally started letting gay kids in a few years ago.
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago. I think it was like back in 2015. The Boy Scout, my dad was a Boy Scout, one of my uncles was a Boy Scout. Being a Boy Scout in America has a big sort of gravitas to it.
Hmm.
It's patriotic. It's the embodiment of everything that America is supposed to be about. Of course, they never tell you about, some of the other Boy Scouts, like, Charles Manson or Jeffrey Dahmer. But basically, more than anything else, the Boy Scout Jamboree is supposed to be a mostly apolitical event.
Mm-hmm.
It gets federal funding and stuff, but it's not supposed to be a political thing. And when the president gives a speech, it's not supposed to be about politics. It's supposed to be about the essential Boy Scout values, honor, self-reliance, honesty, courage, all
Trump
that.
Trump even said that at the beginning, we're not going to talk about politics here, and then proceeded to
talk about politics.
Go all
talk
over
about
his talking points.
Yeah. He just it was a shit show. Yeah. There were a couple times I honestly thought he had no idea where he actually was.
I think he just didn't care.
That's possible, too.
He just knows he's the president. He can do whatever he wants, pretty much.
Yeah. And basically, he went all of his talking points, all the Islamophobia and, immigration, all that shit.
He talked about the election.
Uh-huh.
The Electoral College to a bunch of people that didn't vote because they're kids.
Because they're kids. Yeah.
Like, you have to be, I think, like, the cutoff point for being a Boy Scout is 18. Mm. So.
It would be all the parents that he's talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was the occasional looks at the parents and scoutmasters and the growing looks of disgust that were, showing up.
Yeah.
He started to fire Tom Price if the healthcare votes didn't go his way. All that sort of
Spoiler alert.
Well, he was talking about one part of it. There's like three or four parts of that even.
And then he started talking about like weird sex stuff. Like, I'm not talking like weird, like explicitly or anything, but it was a lot of like, creep master shit.
Yeah.
I remember, these are kids as young as 12.
And he was talking about going to a cocktail party
mm-hmm.
with a fellow real estate developer. It's like, what the hell does this have to do with the Boy Scouts?
Yeah. Now, for the record, being that they're 12 years old, they've already seen worse than anything Donald Trump could ever bring up online. Hmm. But this is the Boy Scouts. Again, yeah, there's a certain standard here that you have to meet.
Hmm. Yeah.
And he does not...
talks about CNN's not going to show the crowds, and they immediately cut to the crowds.
Mm-hmm. All right, but... oh, no, it didn't stop there. Yeah. So then he went to Youngstown and gave another speech where he talked about illegal immigrant gangs coming in, torturing and raping pretty teen girls.
In a weird way that made it seem like he's really into that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was... it was just, okay, all the creep fest shit from the Jamboree, basically he doubled on it at this point.
Yeah, because the thing he said here is, the predators and criminal aliens who poison our communities with drugs and prey on innocent young, these beautiful, beautiful, innocent young people, will find no safe haven anywhere in our country. And you've seen the stories about some of these animals. They don't want to use guns because it's too fast and it's not painful enough. So they'll take a young, beautiful girl, 16, 15, and others, and they slice them and dice them with a knife because they want them to go through excruciating pain before they die. And these are the animals that we've been protecting for so long. No, we haven't.
No. No. For the record, I want to point out, despite the whatever particular... quality of our border with Mexico at the moment, at worst, it is an annoyance.
Mm.
Okay? Yeah. This idea that there are these lunatic, bloodthirsty Mexicans fleeing over the border to rape all the white women, it's not true.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, as far as Mexico goes, illegal immigration from Mexico has never been a major problem, and it isn't now.
Mm.
You know, at worst, you've got people who are coming in to get a job and then taking the money back with them to Mexico, at worst.
Yeah, and at best, they want to get their families to a new, better life.
Yeah, a lot of them are actually trying to get, if not for themselves, citizenship. They all still pay taxes.
Yeah, and sometimes that goes bad. I saw a story about one guy who wanted to go to the office and get all legalized and ended up getting deported.
Yep.
Because they didn't want to help him get the help he needed.
No. To do that. But then, oh no, it doesn't stop there. Third, finally, he did what... weirdly enough, might actually be his equivalent to the Thermidor. He went on Twitter and basically said that he basically tried to decree that transgender people would no longer be accepted into the military and that all transgenders would need to be kicked out. In fact, you know what?
Especially doing this from his personal account, not the POTUS account.
Yeah, for the record, I'm actually going to go ahead and read that tweet he sent.
Because
it's only three of them. Okay, you ready for it? Okay, here it goes. After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. Thank you.
But guess who's called that?
No. Fuck you.
First off, this isn't any sort of... executive order or anything.
No.
The president does not have the authority to make that call.
No. It was basically a Twitter fart. That's all it was. It was a Twitter fart. And apparently King Donald doesn't understand the fact that in a country like the U.S., the president can't just come out and decree something.
No.
And,
in fact, that's what I'm going to start calling him from now on. King Donald.
Oh, he will like that.
Yeah. And here's what's really weird. You want to know the weirdest part here? Mm-hmm. I said just a little earlier that this is pretty much his Thermidor reaction period.
Mm-hmm.
Because this may have been the point that was final. That was the final straw for a lot of people in the GOP.
Yeah.
And, coming from people you would never expect it from.
Yeah.
People like Joni Ernst and Orrin Hatch. And John McCain, of all people. Remember John McCain, like the biggest advocate of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Yeah.
You know, his years-long, you know, fight to keep gays out of the military?
Yep.
He ended up coming out against this, too.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And if you saw the Joint Chiefs of Staff for all of the military...
Mm-hmm.
They just said, we're not doing anything until there's actual details. Because yes. It's like, these are fucking tweets. There's no actual law or anything that's being done yet.
Yeah. And
I mean, even if he could make a presidential, you know, an executive order over something like that, he couldn't do it via tweet.
No.
Yeah. And even then, there are procedures to this shit, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't
and
just say,
if you don't follow proper procedure, you've got a constitutional crisis on your hands. Yeah. And I just got to tell you, of all the things in the world, it blew me away that it was this that would finally get so much of the GOP to turn on him.
And apparently this
and I'm
was
pretty
something...
sure the process is ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't going to be the end of it.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently this has something to do with that the budget bill that got passed,
mm-hmm.
where he got partial funding for his wall. And apparently he had to do this, I guess, something like this, in order – it's like a weird trade. I don't know why. Because like the tremendous medical costs he's talking about is about like a fifth of what they pay for Viagra for male soldiers. Yep.
For the record, I just want to point out that despite what you might be thinking, Viagra does actually have more uses than just, you know, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like the transgender medical costs are a drop in the bucket for what
it's
we
like
pay for the military.
It's like $8.5 million at most.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Trump just – the most recent budget for the military was $650
billion.
So that's almost – God, it's what – 1,000 times?
Yeah.
No. Even more than that. It's like... God, it's, I can't even think of like 10 or 100,000 times.
Yeah. It's a 10,000th of a percentile of
it's like,
the
and this
overall
is the
military
tremendous
budget.
Medical costs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can spare that much money.
Mm.
Especially when you're getting $1.6 billion for your fucking wall that isn't even anywhere close to going up yet.
Yeah.
Probably never will be.
And, but again.
You could put that money towards, say, healthcare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a concept.
But again, he didn't stop there because today, he basically went in front of a bunch of policemen and basically advocated for more police brutality.
Okay.
I mean, he straight up told them when you're arresting people, don't be nice.
And I said, you know that thing where you put your hand on top of their head so they don't bump their head into the door? Yeah, don't put your hand there anymore. talking about, you know, don't be too nice to them. Really stupid shit. And
basically advocating that they don't treat people like human beings.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which, you know, that's kind of what happened to Freddie Gray. He got killed in the back of a police vehicle. So, you know, we've already got a problem with police brutality.
Yeah.
You don't need the president saying, hey.
Trying to exacerbate it.
Yeah.
And he also attacked the mayor of New York.
Yep. Bill de Blasio.
Yeah. It's like, you're just burning all the bridges you can.
Yeah.
At this point,
everywhere.
It looks, there is a part of me at this point that thinks that he's actively trying to get, you know, impeached now.
Articles of impeachment introduced.
Technically, they've already introduced them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've started putting forth procedures for it, but it was just a regular, some Democrat in Congress, an obscure one. I have a feeling that King Donald ain't going to have his crown for all that much longer.
No.
Not with the way the White House administration is imploding constantly. Yeah.
The whole thing is...
There's a picture of Trump with his biggest staff people. And it's like, okay, there's two people left in here, Trump and Bannon. Spicer's gone. Priebus is gone, which just happened a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
What's his face? The National Security Advisor?
Sessions.
Flynn?
Yeah.
No, Flynn. Yeah,
Flynn's gone.
Flynn's gone. His communications director, of course, Sean Spicer, is gone. Mm. And now we got Scaramucci.
The new one's a real piece of work.
Mm. Yeah.
We got more on him in a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you thought that the funny days were over. Oh, no. But, yeah, so basically in a span of 1 week, Donald Trump may have completely and finally doomed his presidency. And you're fixing to find out, and on top of all the shit we just told you about, you're fixing to also find out why. Because we have, as our hero of the week, oddly enough, none other than Arizona Senator John McCain. Who originally was going to be a villain. Yeah. Originally was going to be a villain because he actually voted to let the debate go on. And then when the actual vote for the what they called the skinny repeal was going, he took a break from his cancer treatment, went into the halls of Congress, and broke the tie.
Well, he was talking to a bunch of the Democrats and Schumer. People were like, they're laughing. What's going on? Is he flipping?
And then he walks. You see, they've got video of it. He
told them to sit back and watch the show.
Yeah, they've got video of it, of him doing this. He does that. Then you can see him. He walks up, kind of lumbers up. He goes up to where the seat is. And he points to him and, gets their attention. And then he goes, no, and walks away. And the audible gasp that you can hear.
It's like, mic drop.
You see, you can hear the Democrats clapping, and everyone's like, what?
Yeah, he took time out of his cancer treatment to torpedo this bill.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't have anything to lose now.
No, he's like...
The dude's living... The clock's tick. The dude knows the clock's ticking, and at his age especially. Yeah. So he knows that, if he's going to do anything, he's going to have to, get to working. And this is just the start of it. He straight up torpedoed this thing. It lost by 2 votes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good that he's finally standing up, because he likes to grandstand a lot about being a sensible person. Mm-hmm. And just folds for whatever the GOP agenda is.
Yeah, he's the Maverick. Yeah. Remember, that was it. That was his sort of his whole thing. I'm the Maverick. I'm the renegade.
Mm.
And
But how many fucks must he give right now?
I think the moment he got that diagnosis, any fucks he had left just went up in smoke.
Yeah, because he knows he's probably not going to run again.
Yeah,
and he's probably not going to survive the year. Like, I'm going to be honest, but the type of brain cancer he has is really aggressive. Yeah. And he's old. I mean, he's an old man. Yeah. It's not like he hasn't survived. Granted, he's survived horrible shit before. I mean, he spent 3 years in a Viet Cong POW camp.
Yeah,
and
he's had cancer before, so.
Yeah, and he beat it, too. But this is the type of shit that will kill you very fast.
Yeah.
And which also goes with the other Republicans that also were kind of against it pretty much from the start.
Collins and Murkowski. Murkowski, yeah. And
which Trump took shots at them any chance he got.
Yeah.
Because that's how you treat your party.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. McCain himself was never really a true ACA believer. But he kind of just wanted to just go ahead and get this shit over with.
Yeah.
He's being driven by deeper principles than that.
Yeah, it's true. He sees the act that the Republicans are pulling, trying to get this, get anything they can to pass.
Yeah.
Any way they can, which we saw what was in the skinny bill. It's like there's two pages dedicated to fucking over Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Preventing people from getting cancer screenings and basic medical care from Planned Parenthood. It's like, what the fuck?
It was actually, it was the most aggressive action against Planned Parenthood that they've tried to pull in quite a few years.
Did you see
what
that?
McCain said was, it's time to go back to the proper way of legislating.
Yeah.
And did you see the bits where there were a few senators that were like, I'll pass this if you guys don't, in the House, don't pass it. They'll make it law. It's like, don't vote for it if you don't want it to become law. That's the whole point of the votes.
Yeah.
But I think this was kind of like his, you know, Mr. Welch is going up against Joe McCartney, finally going, have you no decency, sir, at long last. This was his moment. And I think this basically means that, look, the Republicans have been working on trying to repeal Obamacare for 7 years now. This was pretty much their last attempt. And it failed. And it's going to cost a lot of people their jobs.
Yeah, they've had 7 years and have had control of both sides of Congress for the last, 4 or 5 years, something like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
now they've got control of the executive.
Which, that's...
And they still can't get shit done.
No.
Yeah.
Did you see what Fox and Friends said in the morning?
Oh, God, you got to tell us.
Okay,
I didn't.
So I'll put the link to the Twitter mentions here. It's basically a video of them basically trying to take shots at Democrats for celebrating the vote going down. You know, taking selfies with people, the protesters that were outside. And then said, congratulations, the healthy people are paying for the sick people. That's how health insurance,
that's how it works.
Yeah.
The people that don't crash their cars all the time pay for the people that do. People whose houses don't get damaged all the time.
That's kind of how a society works.
Yeah.
You pay in so that when you have problems, you have help.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to
be
healthy.
They call it a social contract for a reason, dude.
Yep.
It's like, you guys are so bought into this bullshit that you can't see the ridiculous shit you're saying.
Well, deep down, clearly what they really want is for us to just be a third world country.
Well, they want us to be a banana republic. That's what they want. That's their fantasy.
Yeah.
Battle Royale. Hmm. Every person for themselves.
Yeah. But they failed. And so what's probably going to happen, Mitch McConnell probably is going to step down, or if not step down, he's not going to run for re-election.
No loss there.
Because this has been his big, like, this has been his major project for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And
he's not even really
out.
Like his own district. He's just the guy that has an R by his name.
Yeah. And it pretty much means that, remember, this was also Donald Trump's like big campaign promise. We're going to repeal Obamacare.
And your premiums are going to go down, even though every CVL score said they're going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Like the current thing they were going to go through was like 20% increases every year.
Yeah. You know, hey, by the way, you know what the great thing is about having universal health care? No premiums.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't exist. They're not even a factor.
Yeah, because one of the biggest uses for GoFundMe is medical bills.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the terrible thing. You have to literally go on the internet and beg for money to help pay for your bills.
Yeah.
Exactly. But this also means it's also going to hurt Donald Trump very badly. And I want people to understand something. Remember we brought up the transgender thing recently?
Yeah.
Let's be perfectly honest, because it's really transparent what he's actually trying to do. Hmm. It's a distraction. That's all it was. He was trying, because remember, up to this point, the shit with his son had come out, and all of a sudden, everybody realized that the Russia connection wasn't conspiracy theory anymore. There was material connections with proof in hand. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, which branch put out the report saying basically, yeah, there's Russian mafia connections.
That would be the Justice Department, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And like, so now there's starting to be some actual physical, concrete stuff.
Yeah, and he's panicking.
Yeah.
So this, a lot of this,
as well, it should.
Yeah, and he's trying, because remember, this has been his modus operandi since he announced his candidacy last year. He would, you know, he would come forth with horrible shit, you know, horrible policy ideas, and then to throw the scent off people, he would say something horrible or do something, you know, outrageous, and then when the media would call on, he would double down, call them all liars, and of course his sheep followers would lick it up, and he would keep going forward. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's doing, trying to do, but it ain't gonna work, buddy.
It works during the election cycle because there's so much going on, people can't catch everything. Yeah. Now there's just one person.
Yeah, now you're in the center of it. So
I'm just going to say this. Either Donald Trump gets impeached, or there's going to be a revolution in the United States within the next decade.
Hmm. I can see it.
Yeah. Pot's boiling.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's coming to a bubble.
If you guys in Washington are smart, you're going to act on it fast, because it's going to be your heads on the chopping block when it comes. Hmm. And I mean that quite literally.
Hmm. Yeah, he's not going down alone.
Wasn't there a protest recently where a guillotine randomly popped up?
Yep. There was two of them. One of them was in South Korea. But yeah. It was fake. Like, I think it was made out of cardboard, but
symbolism is still there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It makes one hell of a statement.
Yeah. So.
But, anyway, so, moving on from there. As for right now, the ACAA is safe, and probably they can't really do anything to it now. That long 7-year work to try and get that thing repealed has utterly failed. Mm. And, you know, this was at the barest conditions they were willing to go along with it, and it lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless they pull something desperate at this point, that whole repeal effort is as good as dead.
Yeah.
But we unfortunately have some sad news. One of the great voice actors of our childhoods, June Foray, passed away this week. Who she voiced? She voiced Rocky from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Natasha in Bullwinkle Show. Really?
Mm-hmm. She also she was the Tweety Bird.
And the Granny as well,
mm-hmm.
I think. And that's, she did one of the Smurfs. I think she was Little Susie Who in The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
She was in DuckTales. She was in the Beetle Bailey cartoon. She was in Alvin and the Chipmunks. Natasha, I think her name was.
Yeah.
In DuckTales. She was in the Gumby Bears. The Gummy Bears. She was in Peter Pan. She was in Peter Pan.
Yeah, Cindy Lou Who from How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
She was in Who Roger Rabbit. Ton of shit.
And she was 99, so she had a big full life.
Yep. You have to be up there with a resume like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a quote here that Chuck Jones said. Let's see. June Foray isn't the female Mel Blanc. Mel Blanc is the male June Foray. So basically, he thinks she was bigger than Mel Blanc.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Who did a lot of the Looney Tunes stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was basically like all of the things.
Half of them.
Yeah.
That's sad. But we got, she left quite a legacy in film behind her. Yeah. So, you know, and people still enjoy all that stuff on DVD and Blu-ray to this day.
And
you know,
Netflix.
Yeah. So her work will go on forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now for some more shenanigans. So as I mentioned earlier, Sean Spicer is no longer communications director. He's been kicked. He basically resigned.
Mm.
And who did they get to replace him but basically a walking Guido stereotype named Scaramucci.
And another Wall Street dude.
This guy
there's
is
a great
like
video
a good...
of him at a town hall meeting with Obama.
Mm.
Sort of right after they were starting to do the sort of sanctions against Wall Street and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking on behalf of Wall Street, essentially, when are you going to stop hitting the pinata?
Mm.
And Trump basically went in on him. Or not Trump, Obama did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how we're trying to get the economy back in order because they were sort of going wild on Wall Street, causing all the problems in the first place.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it was a bit of John Stewart as well saying, responding to the pinata thing, like when there's candy that comes out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this dude is a freaking... He's like the platonic ideal of a Goodfellas character come to life. He is a walking, talking cartoon of a human being.
Comes in obsessed about getting rid of the leaks.
Yeah.
Just to fire everybody that's on the communication staff.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the first things he does is leak that Priebus is gone.
Yep. Of course, Priebus actually recently went on CNN earlier today and basically said, no, I wasn't pushed out. I straight up jumped.
Yeah, because he was basically
accusing him. Can you fucking blame the guy either?
No.
Honestly, although he's a massive asshole, I can't blame him for...
Yeah, because he was basically coming in saying he leaked his public disclosure, financial disclosure form, which it's public.
Yeah.
You can't really leak that.
Yeah, it's kind of public.
And
it actually went online. It actually was publicly available online 3 days after he signed on. So
yeah, and then he decided to call up Ryan Lizzo over at The New Yorker and just start going off.
Just berating
about
the dude.
His sources. Who leaked that to you? They got quotes here. He responded by threatening to fire the entire White House communication staff. What I'm going to do is I will eliminate everyone in the comms team and we'll start over. He said, I laughed, not sure if he really believed that such a threat would convince a journalist to reveal a source. He continued to press me and complain about the staff he's inherited in his new job. I asked these guys not to leak anything and they can't help themselves, he said. You're an American citizen. This is a major catastrophe for the American country. So I'm asking you as an American patriot to give me a sense of who leaked it. It's like, nobody in their right mind is going to answer you.
Yeah.
continues going on. Is it an assistant to the president? And he asked. Again, told him I couldn't say. Okay, I'm going to fire every one of them, and then you haven't protected anybody, so the entire place will be fired over the next 2 weeks. Let's see. I asked him why it was so important for the dinner to be kept a secret. Yeah, it's about a dinner, this particular thing that surely I said it would come public at some point. And he says, I've asked people not to leak things for a period of time. Give me a honeymoon period. He technically hasn't started this yet. He doesn't start until August. And he said, they won't do it. He was getting more and more worked up and eventually convinced himself that Priebus was my source. They'll all be fired by me, he said. I fired one guy the other day. I have 3 to 4 people to fire tomorrow. I'll get to the person who leaked that to you, Reince Priebus. If you want to leak something, he'll be asked to resign very shortly. The issue he said was that he believed Priebus had been worried about the dinner because he hadn't been invited. Reince is a fucking paranoid schizophrenic of paranoiac. Scaramucci said. He turned on Priebus as he spoke. Oh, Bill Shine is coming in. Let me leak the fucking thing and I'll see if I can cockblock these people the way I cockblocked Scaramucci for 6 months. Priebus did not respond to a request for comment. Let's see what else here. He says, I've called the FBI, the Department of Justice. Are you serious? I asked. The swamp will not defeat him, he said, breaking into the third person. They're trying to resist me, but it's not going to work. I've done nothing wrong on my financial disclosures, so they're going to have to go fuck themselves. Scaramucci also told me that, unlike other senior officials, he had no interest in media attention. I'm not Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own cock. He said, speaking of Trump's chief strategist, I'm not trying to build my own brand off the fucking strength of the president. I'm here to serve the country. Bannon declining to comment. And it's... this is just... He's just going nuts. I got the sense that Scaramucci's campaign against leakers flows from his intense loyalty to Trump. And one of the weird things is when he started, he tried to be transparent, say he was going to delete old tweets because it doesn't matter if he's held contradictory opinions before he started. His loyalty is only to Trump, so he seems to be easily bought. He says, what I want to do is I want to fucking kill all the leakers, and I want to get the president's agenda on track so we can succeed for the American people, he told me. He cryptically suggested that he had more information about White House aides. Okay, the moot showed up a week ago. He said, this is going to get cleaned up very shortly, okay? Because I nailed these guys. I got digital fingerprints on everything they've done through the FBI and the fucking Department of Justice. What? I interjected. Well, the felony, they're going to get prosecuted, probably for the felony, he added. The lie detector starts, but then he changed the subject and returned to what he thought was the illegal leak of his financial disclosure forms. I asked if the president knew all of this. Well, he doesn't know the extent of all that. He knows about some of that, but he'll know about the rest of it first thing tomorrow morning when I see him. Scaramucci said he had to get going. Yeah, let me go, though, because I've got to start tweeting some shit to make this guy crazy. He's talking about Priebus. Which, minutes later, he tweeted, in light of the leak of my financial info, which is a felony, I will be contacting @FBI and @TheJusticeDept, #Swamp, @Reince45. With the addition of the Priebus's Twitter handle, he was making public what he just told me, that he believed Priebus was leaking information about him. The tweet quickly went viral. Scaramucci seemed to have second thoughts. Within 2 hours, deleted the original tweet and posted a new one denying that he was targeting the chief of staff. Wrong, he said. A screenshot of an Axios article that said, Scaramucci appears to want Priebus investigated by FBI. Scaramucci continued, tweet was public notice to leakers that all senior administration officials are helping to end illegal leaks at Reince 45.
What a God. What an idiot.
And this then
is,
he...
Yes, I would like to remind... Yes, I would like to remind everybody that these are members of the administration of the President of the United States.
This is the guy that supposedly is coming in to set things straight on the communications staff. And he was basically saying after this stuff, crap, what was it? He got really upset about it. Let me see if I can find his tweet. But he was basically like, that's the last time I'll talk to a member of the press again. let me see. There we go. I made a mistake in trusting a reporter. It won't happen again. It's like, you just fucking cold called him and told him all this shit. There's no point anywhere where anybody says this is on the record or off the record.
Yeah.
Just called him and just went nuts. And they're acting like somehow that was supposed to be off the record when supposedly nothing was ever said in this.
Oh,
it's like, this guy's the communications director. He doesn't understand off the record, on the record.
Buckle up, folks.
He's supposed to get rid of the leaks.
Oh, I think
the first thing he does is make leaks.
Yeah, okay.
And not just like, a leak here, leak there. This was heavy bombardment.
Well, I expect the communications from the White House to be a lot more entertaining going forward anyway.
And I guess there's GIFs out there showing that he's basically able to do all the sort of the hand gestures and the stuff that Trump does during his speeches. Like, mirrors it somehow during his own things. So they've learned, like, the same bullshit public speech gestures that's douchebag know how to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, so, God, this whole week will probably go down in history as the moment that the Trump train officially derailed.
Yeah, this guy isn't even on the fucking job yet.
He's
supposed to be getting trained by Spicer, basically. It's like, this is when you send the person home and just say, yeah, we'll find somebody else. If this was a normal job.
We're good.
Yeah.
It's like, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for your audition.
No thanks.
We'll let you know if you're
Don't
getting the job.
Don't call us, we'll call you.
He's famous now.
But
he's also an imminent divorcee, apparently.
Because other than the fact both his wife couldn't stand his overwhelming ambition, and she also can't stand Donald Trump. So,
She just filed for divorce. Maybe he spoke too soon when he said he isn't trying to suck his own cock.
He might need that.
Which, yeah, there was a – was it an SNL skit or something? A guy trying to do that. Some movie or something. I forget what it was. But I saw somebody –
I tried to get away from that part.
It was the Will Ferrell one. It's the dude going to a yoga instructor because that's what he's trying to learn to do. And it works.
Yeah, I've seen photoshops of I think it was Reinson, Anthony Scaramucci, and the Oval Office yelling, and then there's this Will Ferrell trying to suck his own dick that's supposed to be banned. I was like, oh, that's a pretty good pull.
Yeah.
Which I've seen also people referencing the 80s guy from Futurama, the businessman who dies of bonitis. So they had this guy.
Which I'm actually pretty sure he was based on Donald Trump.
Yeah.
A particular character was. I mean, Donald Trump was that dude in the 80s.
Yeah.
But, moving on from there, everybody knows who's our current secretary for Department of
Energy.
Department of Education, former Texas Governor Rick Perry.
Department of Energy, yeah.
Yeah, Rick Energy.
Perry. One of the...
Education is DeVos.
Yeah.
Just one of the dumbest goddamn people to ever hold office in the United States.
He admitted before he joined that he had no idea what the job was about.
Yeah. A few pranksters over in Russia somehow managed to get a hold of his number. And they called him up and
pretended to be the president of Ukraine or prime minister.
Yeah. And basically just had a nice long conversation about pig shit.
Talking about natural gas exploration in Ukraine, the cyber attacks on the U.S. power grid, potential pipeline across the Baltic Sea for Russian gas. And then started talking about some supposedly experimental fuel source that they had come up with in Ukraine. Which Rick Perry really wanted to know about. It was a combination of, I think it was oil and pig manure.
Okay.
Yeah. The fuel is made from a mix of home-brewed alcohol and pig manure. Perry said he'd like to get more information about the scientific development. And the director seemed to get past Perry's defenses with opportunistic timing. So I guess Rick Perry had talked to some of these people in the Ukrainian government in June and talked about how they wanted to get a follow-up phone call a few weeks later.
Yeah.
And this happened to be the call. So...
This is classic social engineering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Hmm. And you know what has to happen now, right? Somebody's got to find out if you can actually make biofuel out of alcohol and pig shit.
Theoretically, yeah.
They're both flammable.
Yeah, it's sound. I'm not saying it works, but I'm...
Aging Mythbusters.
Yeah.
What's funny is the pranksters apparently have a big history of getting high-profile people. Supposedly, they got Elton John, Turkish President Erdogan, the Croatian Prime Minister.
Yeah.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, Maxine Waters, and John McCain. There's not...
I want to hear that Erdogan one.
Yeah. Supposedly, there's not a ton of proof that they've gotten these, but that's what they've claimed. But the Elton John one's probably, they say, is the most notable. Because, let's see, they called Elton John in 2015, claiming to be President Vladimir Putin, shortly after he had criticized the president's stance on LGBT rights. We thought it wasn't likely that Putin would want to meet with him and call, so at least not so quickly. But it turned out Elton John was really waiting for this call, so he immediately believed it was really was a conversation with the people whose we said we were. And yeah, Elton John was late about the call with the Russian leader. He posted an effusive Instagram post in which he thanked the Russian leader for having reached out to him. He took it down shortly afterward.
Yeah. Social engineering, folks. This is how that works.
Well, next up, we have a guy who was not only an asshole once, he was also an asshole twice, and he ended up getting an innocent person fucked over. So there was a in Prince William County, which is in
Virginia,
yeah. Some douchebag tried to shoplift, and he got caught, and he claimed that he was Lucky Whitehead. For those of you who don't know, he's currently wide receiver for Dallas Cowboys.
Well, not anymore.
Well, not anymore, and you're fixed to find out why. So when that happened, unfortunately, Lucky... lost his contract.
Yeah, apparently when he got arrested, he was not in possession of ID at the time, but he did provide enough identifying information for Lucky Whitehead, whose real name is Rodney Darnell Whitehead Jr. Managed to also have his social security number, I guess, that matched and his name and his date of birth and name and all that.
And I would have thought it would have been enough just to say that he was a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah. The DMV photo on file was then used to compare to the man who was in custody. Officers acted in good faith that at the time the man in custody was the same man matching the information provided. Which, okay, that when you don't have any ID, it seems like you shouldn't be taking everything at their word. Especially when you make it public and it's a person of public interest.
Yeah.
Like an athlete. So when Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys found out, he was released on Monday after it was alleged that he failed to appear in court to face a larceny charge stemming from this incident that happened in June. So he didn't go to court because he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And they have actual proof because he was in Dallas when this happened.
Yeah.
He was on his way to fly over to Washington, D.C., but at the time he was in Dallas and landed in D.C. 10 hours after the incident.
Right.
And he was having a football camp in Virginia.
I don't know, man. That's a pretty solid alibi, but he's still a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah. It's the whole thing is they finally get tough on somebody that supposedly committed a crime, but he's innocent.
Yeah.
Whereas previous players they've had that had a lot of sexual violence charges, and they stood by him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And there was a great press conference later in the week. Once all this found out that, oh yeah, this guy couldn't have been this guy, the thief, and apologized and all that stuff, the police did. They're still looking for the guy, the thief. At this point, the police department is also confident confirming that Mr. White's identity was falsely provided. The police department is currently seeking the identity of the man involved in the incident, since the identifying information provided by the arrestee was apparently false. They're working with the attorney's office in the county to clear Mr. Whitehead from this investigation. And, yeah, they regret the impact these events had on Mr. Whitehead and his family.
Like he lost his job.
Yeah, and the coach, when put out a statement, in handling the situation, evaluating with the authorities there, and in talking to him, we just didn't feel like it's in the best interest of the Cowboys to have him with us. We got a track record of being able to take guys that made some mistakes early on in their careers, and they get better, they grow, and they develop, and they become great citizens and great players. We have a number of those guys on our team right now. It's like, this guy is completely innocent. He gets released. I've seen more information where basically he's told his agent, we're not dealing with Dallas anymore, like as a free agent.
Yeah.
So there's no way he's going to get re-signed with Dallas.
Do you blame him?
No.
No, I don't.
Nope.
No, because basically he's been saying, like, they didn't even talk to me to get my side of the story on this. They just assumed I was lying and cut me right away, which there was a chance that he wasn't even going to make the team by the end of training camp, but still he didn't get the shot. And he'd played pretty well last season, just being a young guy. There's a lot of overhead as far as doing training camp and all that. There's potential he was going to get cut anyway, but still, you can't just fucking rush through the investigation without having the final say.
Exactly.
Now God, somebody else is going to pick him up, and potentially he'll get into a better situation where he can actually make a team.
Yeah.
God, that's fucked up.
You know, make a team that actually has a chance.
Which seems like that should be something he could sue them for.
Yeah.
Firing him under false pretenses.
That's called wrongful termination.
Yeah. So I don't know what the NFL contract has.
Yeah, that's the... That's
probably all kinds of clauses.
I mean, you're shenanigans. To, like, smoke weed. You can get fired just for that, even though it may not be... It's probably still legal in Texas at this point. Or illegal. Yeah. But, yeah.
All right, well... Sucks. Hopefully somebody else will pick him up. But,
yeah, like, here's the crazy thing about the NFL. The legal limits for weed was... really small. I forget what the actual limit was, but it was essentially like four times bigger was the limit you need to be able to fly a plane. And like two times bigger than that was to get into the Olympics. So you would basically not even be allowed to be near anybody that smoked weed, or else you might test positive for marijuana.
Yeah.
They've relaxed that a little bit, but it's still really stupid, especially as it gets more legalized across the country and teams in these sports are going to have to figure out how to deal with that.
And that's only, you know, saying that, you know, football is still going to be around in its current form within the next 20 years.
Yeah.
I kind of doubt it.
Because, you know, we're only now starting to realize the extent of the concussion issue in the NFL, and it's turned out to be far more widespread than anybody believed it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, so moving on. So up next, Alice Cooper is pretty much my favorite person in music, period. I own everything he's ever released. I basically owned all of his concert videos on VHS. He has been and still is my number one favorite musician.
He's a generally nice guy.
Yeah. No, he really is. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the size of the venue is. He gives 110% when he does his show. And he gives a hell of a show, too. Yeah, and yet he does. Somehow, even though he's almost 70 years old now, he somehow looks better and more healthier than he did back in his 30s and 40s.
Yeah, but the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't realize this, but back in the 70s, you know, back in Alice Cooper's sort of, I wouldn't really say the peak of his popularity, because he managed a pretty big comeback in the 80s, but yeah. Back in the early 70s, when he was like the big new thing, he rubbed elbows with a lot of really influential people. He was friends with, you know, he was neighbors with Groucho Marx. He was friends with Salvador Dali. You know, he knew all these people, and he would get these birthday gifts from these people, and some of them turned out to be pretty extraordinary. So, like, apparently back in the 70s, during one of his birthdays, he got a painting by Andy Warhol called The Little Electric Chair. And he got it
from one of the people in the sort of running the group.
Yeah, I guess this is back when Alice Cooper was technically a band, still a band, and not just him.
Yeah.
But apparently they found it, and it was just lounging around with some of his old tour equipment in storage.
I think it was his girlfriend at the time got him this painting because she knew. He knew Andy Warhol. And one of the people talking about this here, I remember Cindy came to the office and said that she wanted to give Alice the electric chair painting for his birthday, and Warhol Studios said she could have one for $2,500. And he said,
probably worth a shit ton now.
And Alice said, "That's my recollection, but everything from those days is really foggy." Is it later found out things that I thought were real were not real?
Well, you need to understand. Just to point out, So in the article, they talk about the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's important to realize Alice Cooper didn't actually do drugs; he just drank like a fish that had a death wish.
Yeah.
So obviously, he doesn't remember it because he spent most of the 70s and early 80s hammered.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, so, like, they actually got in touch with Alice's mother, who I actually did not know was still alive.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to his dad. Those who don't know, Alice Cooper's dad was a pastor.
Naturally.
But eventually they went through all his storage and they found it. Like I said, this is a genuine Andy Warhol, so...
And just rolled up in a tube. Been sitting there for 40 years.
30, 40 years.
And apparently that painting can go for about $11 million.
Yeah.
So $2,500 to $11
million. Yeah, pretty nice upgrade there.
Yeah, well, this...
But he really needs it.
Well, this is Warhol we're talking about, so...
Yeah.
You go big or you go home.
Yeah.
This is a dude who could make a crudely drawn sketch of a soup can on a napkin and have it sell for like $3 million at auction. So
especially one that's been forgotten about for decades.
So that's just really cool. I bet Alice has a bunch of stuff like that in storage that he's completely forgotten about.
Here's this stuff that Ozzy gave me or you know, all these other bands that he could...
Maybe the thing for the projector they did. So, like, one of the things that Salvador Dali did when he was hanging around with him was Dali did a... not really a projection, but like a... a hologram type thing, which was basically an image of Alice Cooper biting the head off of like this statue. I remember seeing it like in on one of his videos years ago. I can't remember which one, but it's he made it like in the early 70s. I wouldn't be surprised if he still has the original piece for that somewhere, or at least one of the copies. Yeah.
I mean, even Alice's own stuff would probably be worth a lot if he kept a lot of it in pretty good condition.
Oh, yeah. Well, next up, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the Minority Report. There's a tech company out of Wisconsin that is actually offering a microchip implant to employees.
Yeah.
And this is just so they can sort of get into the building and buy stuff from their break room or whatever they have there.
Yeah.
So it's like instead of having like a card or something like that they can use.
Just have a little RFID thing.
You just stick your hand up on the reader.
Yeah, so the actual chip is about the size of a grain of rice. Yeah. And it just sort of goes under the skin.
Yeah, it's implanted right in that webbing between the thumb and forefinger.
Yeah.
Where you don't really use anyway, so.
Yeah. Just and I know they say that, but I would be fiddling with it like crazy because.
Yeah, you'd probably end up pulling it up.
Yeah, imagine if you're the sort of person that moves from company to company.
Yeah.
It's like, which one of these is the right one in my finger?
I would just imagine someone having an allergy.
Yeah. So, for the record, I actually don't really mind the idea of putting a microchip inside myself. What I'm worried about is who's actually controlling it.
Yeah.
This is, well, this idea is fairly innocuous, even though the pitch that the company CEO gives is completely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I see this kind of thing actually becoming a little bit more common in the years.
Yes. Because on the one hand, it's surprisingly convenient.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing they use for pets, pretty much.
Yeah. But just on humans.
Yeah.
And it will probably become just a normal thing, probably within the next 20 years.
Yeah.
And people will jailbreak them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. RFIDs, yeah, they can be read from a lot farther than you would think they should be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Well.
I'm just imagining someone programming their own to unlock pretty much all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Well, anyway, more computer news. It turns out a lot of people had recently heard that apparently Microsoft was planning to finally kill MS Paint. But, turns out, no, they're actually not getting rid of it, but it is becoming an app in the Windows 10 store.
Yeah, they deprecated it. Basically means they're not going to update it anymore.
Yeah.
It's still going to be in Windows. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You just have to get it out of the Windows store now.
Yeah, just have to get it from the store if you still use Paint. A lot of people still do.
Yeah, yeah. I use it whenever I have like a PNG file that is too big. Mm-hmm. I just open it up in Paint and save it as a JPEG, and it's a much smaller file.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does have its uses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use it to crop images if I do, like, a print screen thing. I just want, like, a little part of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to do it in Paint.
Yeah.
It's like, a lot of stuff like that. Like, if we get, like, an actual, like, 4K screenshot, I don't want a 4K screenshot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I will... just resize it in Paint. Just say, 50% size this. So it's at least something somewhat people can look at.
Yeah.
Well,
it has its good uses.
Yeah. So
last time I used Paint, it didn't have any image scaling, and the only format it could save to was bitmap.
Yeah, it's improved quite a bit since then.
Yeah, the last time I actually used the Paint function on MS Paint, I was drawing boobies on the computer.
Yeah, now they have Paint 3D, which can do more like modeling type stuff.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah. Now you can make them. So now you can make those boobies 3-dimensional.
Yeah.
Hooray!
That's the first thing people are going to do when they fire that.
Behold the future.
Boobs and dicks. That's all you're going to make.
Yep.
Boobs and dicks and with dicks with butts. Yeah.
3D printing for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a great sign that shows you when people don't pay attention to their typography. Mm-hmm. It was an A on top and two C's below it. So that he was rounded. And so it's like a dick with two balls under it.
Yeah.
Oops.
This was that weird fashion bag that said glitter on it, but it was in cursive. So it looked like it said Hitler on it. My favorite color is Hitler.
Oops.
Yeah.
Like, you got to pay attention to what your words look like in cursive.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. So, next up, yeah, this is good news right here. This has been a nightmare for people on the internet for years now.
Yeah.
Adobe Flash will finally...
Isn't the work of the devil.
And will finally die and return to the devil on 2020.
Hmm.
How did they make it eat that much RAM?
It just does.
There is nothing that it does that demands that much memory, and yet...
It just does. It eats everything, and then it becomes a big attack surface for hackers. And, yeah. And pretty much everything at this point that Flash used to do and be good at is doable in HTML5 now, so it's now redundant.
Yeah.
So...
I would just need Java to go away and grandparents everywhere will be able to use their computers again. That's like the main reason I go over to my grandma's house is to update her Flash and Java.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go away.
When in truth, she would be better off without either of them.
Yeah. But Pogo doesn't modernize themselves for whatever reason. Which is going to be interesting to see how like all those sort of old games... how that if they should open source Flash so that people can preserve some of that stuff
because
there's a lot of cool games that started out in Flash.
I think they're worried that the first thing people would do is fix it.
Well, there is an open source Flash.
Yeah,
it's called Ganache.
Yeah, though it needs to be from Adobe themselves.
Yeah,
it's part of their way of end of lifing Flash.
Yeah.
That
would just keep it going, and we don't want to keep it going.
But then it's all on those people and not Adobe anymore.
Yeah.
There's like, we did our part, you guys can fuck with it if you want.
Yeah.
No more ads in Flash.
Yeah, none of the browsers are going to be supporting it at the end of 2020 now, so.
It's amazing, this has been like a 10-year plan at this point. We've been hearing about them getting rid of Flash for a long time.
Yeah.
Still got another 3 years to go.
Yep. Giving people fair warning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like the whole thing with Chrome is like, iPhones don't work with Flash, but the Android phones do.
You know, you can still use for a while, Chrome. And then,
yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Well.
So.
Next up, Coke Zero is one of the biggest fucking fraud you can find in a supermarket.
Yeah, it's a tasty fraud, but it's a fraud.
Yeah, because they don't tell you exactly how it is that they managed to get around those nutrition labels. But Coke has decided that they're going to kill Coke Zero, and they're going to be replacing it with a brand new product with a new recipe, new graphics called Coke Zero Sugar. Though it's going supposedly to have both zero calories and zero sugar.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently now, this is very popular outside of the U.S.
Yeah, apparently it's been around for a while, just not inside the U.S. Because for some reason, there's a lot of Coke products that aren't regularly available inside the U.S.
Yeah, it's like we didn't have cane sugar pop for the most part until
you have to get that shit recently. From Mexico.
Yeah.
You had to get that shit from Mexico. Also, like, Orange Coke and Lemon Coke, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, you can only get that out of, like, a soda fountain at a fast food place here. Other places in the world, you can get it at a grocery store pretty easily, no sweat.
Yeah. Now it's like, you can just get off of Amazon.
Yeah.
Somebody will sell it, might be too much, but they'll sell it to you.
Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. What kind of tricks did they have to pull to be able to get the zero sugar label?
Don't know.
Because, see, what's got me worried is, have they replaced it with those artificial sweeteners? And the thing is, I'm not scared with worried about artificial sweeteners because they're technically artificial. That's not what bothers me. What bothers me is the fact that a lot of these artificial sweeteners can actually be worse for you than sugar.
Yeah.
Because they can actually speed up the process of weight gain.
Yeah.
Maybe
they've opted for stevia, because that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, if that's what they've done, then awesome, more power to them. And it'll do a hell of a lot of good for, I mean, let's be honest, I love Coca-Cola. Being a Georgian, I am genetically required to say that.
Yeah, you guys call all of it Coke, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we invented the shit, though. But let's be honest, soda is one of the worst things you can give to a kid.
Yeah.
Like, it absolutely is. Because, I mean, you know, obviously maybe having one can of Coke a day at most is fine. But that shit is literally just like liquid candy.
Yeah.
And
it really is.
You know, if you're like, you know, teenager or in your 20s, you know, and you've got, you know, the energy and stuff, it's not that big of a deal. But when you're like, you know, 8, 9 years old, that shit's like the worst thing you can drink. Arguably worse than alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, energy drinks might be the only thing that's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit, that's like just Monster. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, here's a syringe full of just all the sugar and energy drinks you can get.
Yeah, you know all the shit that you're afraid of from soda? Yeah, this is all that, but we multiplied it by 1,000 and put it in a can.
Yeah, we threw taurine in this, which they had to take out of Red Bull, at, like, have it or whatever, because it was way too much for people that were just pounding it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, but,
well, if I find this, I'll give it a shot and see how it is.
Yeah, the I might as well give it a try, too, because I need to find a way to cut back the soda myself. Because, you know, if it wasn't for the sugar, it wouldn't be a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, people will talk about, you know, fat and calories, but, you know, I exercise regularly, so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway. Don't screw this up, Coke. Anyway, so, next up, as pretty much everybody knows, James Bond is coming back with another movie. We know it's going to be in 2019, and that's it. We don't really know anything else.
We don't know if Daniel Craig is going to be Bond, or if they're changing Bonds again. We don't really know that.
Yeah, cause Daniel Craig has said he'd rather kill himself than come back for Bond.
Ooh.
Okay.
So either they've said, hey, we got more money for you. He's like, oh, okay. Or they find somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, the worst thing about playing James Bond is that no matter how good you are, they're always going to compare you to Sean Connery.
Yeah. It's like, you're kind of screwed.
Because, I mean, there's been some good Bonds after Connery. Yes. Was pretty good in a few of them. Pierce Bronson even had a, you know, was good in GoldenEye. Even Timothy freaking Dalton had at least one good one.
One good one.
Yeah.
But you'll never be able to compare to Sean Connery.
No.
I mean, technically, he wasn't even the first Bond.
No.
He was just the first Bond in the Bond movies.
Yeah.
But he did it so well that it defined everything that came after it.
Yeah.
Then I mean, just that's made Bond Sean Connery too.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, when we find out more, we'll tell you about it. But for right now, that's about all we know. Now for some actually really awesome news. Coming this November on HBO, and I swear, fall cannot get here fast enough. Yeah. It just cannot. I am so fucking tired of the floor being lava. I really am.
Yeah.
Generally, fuck the summertime.
Yeah.
And it's not even August yet.
Yeah.
It's not even August yet. And oh, God, the kids are going to start going back to school.
Yeah.
In August. Yeah. Oh, man. That is just going to be a shit show all over the place.
For the first few weeks, anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, we found out this week that Jon Stewart is going to be doing his first stand-up special for HBO. The first one he's done in 21 years.
No, if you're going to do it.
No HBO. Pressure, Jon.
HBO's a pretty good place to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this comes after they were planning to do a animation show with HBO. Jon Stewart and his people that went through. So I think this is sort of the makeup.
Yeah. This will probably be good. Jon Stewart's comedy is always really good and very timely. So, yeah.
If you've never seen Jon Stewart actually do stand up, he's really good.
Yeah.
Holy crap! Can you just imagine the just shit tons of material he's got to work with?
Oh, it's like it's an embarrassment of riches with this administration.
Yeah. And I mean, he's basically said that, you know, he's happy that he finally got to retire from the show, but he also admitted that he kind of retired at the worst time possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looking
forward to a nice Jon Stewart lambasting.
Oh yeah. Hmm. And honestly, he doesn't even really have to do much comedy. All he has to do is tell Daily Show stories, and that's. Will pretty much be the show, and it'll win a freaking Golden Globe.
Yeah,
but yeah. So, God, Autumn, that and Autumn cannot get here fast enough. I want some of that. So, all right. So, and finally, before we get to the highlights from San Diego Comic Con, we now know that Matt Groening, famous creator of Simpsons, Futurama, and, of course, his comic strip, Life as Hell, is now working on a new animated show for Netflix called Disenchantment, which is supposed to come out next year. I've been told that this is basically going to be like the fantasy version of Futurama.
It says, set in the crumbling medieval kingdom of Dreamland, the series will follow the misadventures of hard-drinking young Princess Bean, voiced by Abby Jacobson, her feisty elf companion, Elfo, Nat Faxon,
this is going to be awesome,
and her personal demon, Lucy, voiced by Eric Andre. Along the way, the oddball trio will encounter ogres, sprites, harpies, imps, trolls, walruses, and lots of human fools.
And probably Fry and Leela at some point.
Yeah, also voicing characters are John DiMaggio, Billy West, Maurice LaMarche, Tress MacNeille, David Herman, Matt Berry,
usual suspects,
Jenny Ben, Rich Fulcher, Noel Fielding, and Lucy Montgomery.
Yep. So also, this is automatically a must-watch.
Yeah. Also, executive producer is Josh Weinstein. Worked a lot on The Simpsons and Futurama. And animation is done by Rough Draft Studios, who did Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
So very much there's a great core group of people working on this.
Yep.
20 episodes to 10 episode seasons, so two seasons already confirmed.
Yeah, everybody make sure to watch this so we don't get another Futurama debacle. Yeah.
It should be much easier to get approved for more episodes than it was for Futurama.
Yeah, because, see, he's not having to deal with network television this time.
And being Matt Groening and having the Simpsons and Futurama fame with him, this will get promoted pretty easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, here's the next series from the guy that made The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So,
I like it.
So now we come finally to the highlights of San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
First one's up. We finally got the trailer for Ready Player One.
Yep.
I saw Iron Giant, and I was immediately sold.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, Duke Nukem's in there. It's so weird.
There.
Duke Nukem, the car from Christine is in there.
The DeLorean.
Master Chief's assault rifle from Halo.
The wrong Rush song.
Yeah.
Well, did you hear Pure Imagination was playing in there?
Mm.
Yeah.
The, sort of the chimes from Pure Imagination, which was the thing that sold me. It's like, all right, you got some good stuff going on here music-wise.
Mm. Yeah. My only, if I have any, you know, problem, it's the fact that the Oasis seems kind of dark.
Yeah.
Although, I'm not sure if they're just trying to go with a Tron look, or it could be that maybe they're trying to hide some stuff.
Probably I think it might just be that this, like, debut trailer is all about just satisfying the people that want to know if they're going to be able to do, like, the references, have all the licensed stuff in there, and this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
So here's a bunch of it.
Just like, you want references? Here you go.
Yeah, because we got almost references. No story or anything like that. Yeah.
I didn't see Ultraman, though.
No.
I'm guessing that's what the Iron Giant is supposed to replace?
No, I don't think so, because Iron Giant was mentioned in the book as well.
Because one of the things, like, towards the end, there involves a bunch of mechs.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine. Robots.
There's, like, one it's like, oh, here's this weird Spider-Man, Japanese Spider-Man mech.
Yeah, oh, like, yeah, that's the
stupid bullshit.
Oh, yeah, see, so, like, back in the 70s, there was a tokusatsu series Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
It was based almost in no way on the original Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's
and it was completely fucking insane.
Like that thing, because it's like, this has nothing really to do with Spider-Man at all, and this is why I like this thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, we still didn't even see really much of the Oasis itself, because the way the Oasis is set up is it's sort of a almost infinite number of worlds.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Various themes. WoW is its own world.
Hmm.
Like they said, fuck, we're not competing with this thing. We're just going inside of Oasis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the main character said, he has spent all his time on the educational planet, because that's the only thing that's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
actually where he goes to school in the book.
And that's where he spends all his time because he doesn't have the money to travel to the other planets.
Yeah. And they definitely got the stacks down, Pat.
Yeah.
That is literally what I expected them to look like.
Yep.
Like shit.
Mm.
Because the thing about Ready Player One is that, Oasis is pretty awesome, but the real world actually kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That's why there's tons of people in the Oasis.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because reality sucks.
Yeah, because we're kind of getting towards that with the sort of way that their homes being built out of, like, those storage containers.
That they're going to be homes that they have in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
They're even starting to do them here in the U.S.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they're going to be able to start stacking them like they do there. It's like,
I'm hoping they're a bit more, I don't know, stable. And the stacks look like they are, because the way the stacks are built, it looks like one stray breeze would bring the whole thing tumbling down.
Yeah.
And then you just have one hell of a domino effect.
Yeah,
there's a sequence like that in the book where an accident happens and a bunch of the stuff comes down.
Yeah. Basically ruins the whole thing.
Yep, but anyway, so we also got the season 2 trailer for Stranger Things, and yes,
more of that, please.
Some of the best production I've seen on a trailer,
because
they got Thriller and used the best parts of that to enhance this trailer.
Yeah,
yeah.
Especially with Vincent Price narrating, like, the beginning of that song, but it fits perfectly for the world of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
It's
coming later this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just really?
3 months to go.
Yeah.
So
if you haven't watched it yet, that'd be a good time to do so.
Yeah. Pretty sure if you don't have Netflix, I'm pretty sure you can get the first season on Blu-ray pretty easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably is on Blu-ray by now.
Hmm.
Yeah. So we also got confirmation, and boy, was this one going to be obvious. Wonder Woman 2 is going to be set for a December 2019 release. Obviously, you know who's coming back, and I'm hoping they bring back the original writer-director.
Patty Jenkins, it says, is still talks are still ongoing.
Are you really going to throw the woman who basically saved this project under the bus? That's what...
She saved the DC Extended Universe.
Yeah.
If they if they don't manage to close with her, then they have issues.
Oh, yeah. But, look for more, social commentary and electric cello.
I think the rumor is that she is in the 80s now for this one.
Yeah.
So it'll be the Cold War.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good time.
Next up, we got a new trailer for Justice League.
Which revealed the villain, which is Steppenwolf.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I don't really know too much about him, but I looked it up.
Yeah, I don't either. That one's kind of...
Darkseid is his nephew.
No.
Oh, okay.
So he has like
I know who you're talking about now.
Axe or Warhammer or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to know who you're talking about now.
He's got like
I had to go back. I had to... Remember, that's the shit Jack Kirby was working on back in the day. I had to... Apply that.
I gotta admit, Justice League is kind of looking like a fun movie.
Yeah. But then again, that's also what they said about Batman v Superman.
Maybe.
This at least seems to have some redeeming characters. Like, obviously, Wonder Woman's pretty good.
Yeah.
Flash is looking pretty good.
Hmm.
And obviously, Aquaman's still looking pretty good, too.
Speaking of which, we got a teaser for an Aquaman standalone movie. It's coming out next year, December.
This is the one with Jason Momoa.
Yep.
Yeah. The Aquaman they've got is pretty awesome.
I guess with this, it was these two guys in France sitting on a pier, just sort of watching the water. Two old men fishing in a little boat in the sea. French music plays. Scene is playful in tone. One of the men gets something caught in his fishing line. Starts pulling the boat faster and faster. Finally, the fishing rod flies out of his hand. They look down and see ships from Atlantis under the water. They're flying like spaceships. We're then transported underwater to see the fleet, including Atlanteans riding sharks. It's like Star Wars underwater. Later, we see Momoa wielding a sword, speaking to someone that cuts to black. I want the audience to experience Atlantis the first time Aquaman experienced it as well. So it's about him facing the Ocean Master, his brother.
Yeah.
Played by Patrick Wilson in the movie.
All right.
Could be good.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Amber Heard plays Mara, his love interest, and it's basically an origin story, so.
Yeah. Sounds great.
What's crazy, I saw a video of this little bit they were doing when Momoa was coming in. And he just had the fucking trident, was just slamming it on the stage and playing it like a guitar, all that weird stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, so on top of all that, they also name drop some other potential projects coming. Shazam, which is actually kind of cool.
Which is DC's version of Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
That whole weird saga.
No, Shazam is Captain Marvel.
I'm just saying there's
this long, bizarre story about how all that happened, but
and if they're smart, they'll spare us that whole story.
Because it's funny because it took years and years before they would republish those old comics. We also got Justice League Dark. The Green Lantern Corps. If they do that, keep Ryan Reynolds far, far, far away from it.
Yeah. I think he wants to keep himself far, far away from it.
Yeah.
And
also Flashpoint movies as well.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting thing with the Flash, because obviously the new Flash is pretty good for the movies. Mm-hmm. And Flashpoint is a potential way they can essentially reboot themselves out of the Snyder DC universe.
Yeah.
Into something new for whatever the next like wave is for them. Which could be pretty cool. Yeah. From what I've heard about that whole series.
Yeah.
So also, a lot of people probably know this, they're doing another version of Godzilla King of the Monsters. It's going to be from the same people who did the last one.
Yeah, this is sort of part of the whole Godzilla King Kong cinematic
thing
universe
that they're dealing with.
And it actually precludes Toho from doing their own Godzilla movies until 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're working on their own Godzilla 2, I think it's called.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be related to Shin Godzilla, but anyway, so they teased none other than Mothra.
Yeah, going to bring another of the Bettys in.
Well, I mean, you know, when it comes to Godzilla, there's like a handful of other monsters that have to be there. You know, it's Mothra, King Ghidorah, Mechagodzilla. You know, there's just some that are essential.
Yeah,
this was something that was sort of teased at the end of Kong Skull Island, which says a lot that this wasn't really circulating much.
Nobody watched that movie.
Yeah, apparently in this universe, there's their own version of S.H.I.E.L.D. called MUTO for Massive Unidentified Terrestrial Organisms that is sort of tracking all these creatures. And they have a Twitter account for a group called Monarch, which is also sort of a part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
I tweeted out, unlocked Monarch classified file number 63061, Temple of the Moth, Yucca Province, E. Russell. And the picture of this moth sort of carving in this temple, I guess. And shows like the larva that Mothra is first. So that sort of stuff. And
yeah,
seems like a pretty cool tease for at least one of the monsters that will be in.
Yeah.
This King of Monsters movie.
Yeah. And this isn't, you know, this is the Monarch. This isn't the Monarch!
No, no. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm hoping this is good. I like, you know, I would like a good Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
That 2014 one was not.
It tried.
It did. But
it was pretty good once the monsters started actually fighting.
Yeah.
Problem is they try to force too much with the human stuff.
Yeah. So we also got Thor Ragnarok, trailer for that.
Trailer for that.
And which showed off that Loki is going to be part of the crew.
Yeah.
That is trying to fight back and get Ragnarok back.
Yeah. Oh, that movie is going to make so much money.
Yeah.
Loki by himself will sell tickets.
Yeah.
And then we got a trailer for Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, CBS reboot of Star Trek and
reboot.
It looks good.
Well, it does.
It's a reboot, continuation more.
Yeah,
it's set after the original series, I think.
Hmm.
The captain for the ship, which is played by a woman that was in The Walking Dead. She apparently is the adopted stepsister of Spock. She's a human living on the Vulcan world. Her father died, and Spock's father kind of took in her mom and her as sort of an honorary father, I guess, father figure for her. So that's a way of trying to force in some of that stuff into it.
Anyway.
And they got like one of the crew members is gay, sort of the first gay person in Star Trek.
Openly.
Yeah.
At least as far as like a series. I mean, you know, in the movies, you know, everyone knows that Sulu is gay, but
In the series, hasn't been that clear. So.
Yeah. And of course, when the fact that one of them was gay come out, oh, you can guess the reaction because it's the internet. The
internet is horrible.
Yeah, having a
and because apparently too many people don't realize what the essential fucking message of Star Trek is supposed to be.
Yeah. Diversity and tolerance.
Yeah.
Yeah, like no more money, none of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But next up, we got yet another project from Seth MacFarlane called The Orville.
Which is
a lot like Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, I'm curious to see
maybe
how
maybe a little too much like it.
See, Seth MacFarlane is creator and executive producer, directing as Jon Favreau. 1 hour episodes. And seems like kind of the Galaxy Quest thing, except less in the, oh, these are just actors in a Star Trek show.
Yeah.
Years after that happened.
Yeah.
Versus, like, this is actually the thing that's going on.
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane is also starring in it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he plays the captain.
Yeah. I could give this a look. I mean,
I'll give it a shot, but.
Yeah.
It depends on where it goes. Whether it goes in a good direction, like American Dad, or bad, like.
Family Guy.
Most of his movie stuff. And all that.
Cleveland Show.
Yeah.
Which he, like, bailed on after, like, 7 episodes.
Yeah.
But. All right. We'll give you a chance, Seth. We always do.
Yeah. Don't disappoint us again.
Yeah. And finally, we've got none other than the man, the myth, the legend, and also one of the most hated people in comics, Todd MacFarlane, is going to write and direct the reboot Spawn movie.
Well, they're doing a new one, so I guess if you're going to have somebody doing it, you may as well have him.
Yeah.
He's insisting on this, essentially. He's around like, listen, I'm going to paint it for you. The movie is going to be a dark. If it's PG-13 and here's Deadpool and here's Logan, we're going to be here, I guess, pointing towards Logan or Deadpool.
Okay.
It's going to be dark. It's going. He also talks about how I knew I needed to keep the story and the budget both tight, so that when I go to Hollywood and say I have to direct it, that's not even a negotiation. So it becomes conversation is over quickly, and wants to understand the scope and size and budget of it. They're like, oh, it's not like for $100 million. And saying, let me direct my first movie. He's saying, give me $10 million. To make a little horror movie and let's see if it scares some people. We've done that tons of. So it seems like it's going to be a low budget, which might be better than the last time they tried to do Spawn, which doesn't hold up well.
No, it does not.
Well, there's no way he.
I'm curious if it's still. Yeah.
But
I imagine it's not going to get anywhere close to what Marvel or DC stuff.
No, more than $10 million.
But
yeah. I'm just curious to see how Spawn holds up in 26. That's a very indies.
Well, I mean, Spawn is still being published.
Yeah,
and actually,
it's just just remember all the games and all that. That's 90s game right there.
Yeah, a lot of that you have to remember was like during the. You know, the 90s comic boom.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody.
Was a good time.
It was, but also everyone knows that it damn near killed the entire industry.
Yeah.
So.
The tech industry had their bubble, and comic industry had theirs as well. So.
Yeah. But the thing is, if he's going to. He better get some co-writers. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anybody who's ever read any comic that he's ever actually written, and when I say writ, I don't mean like just the story. I mean like the dialogue.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
It's good.
let me put it this way: read Spider-Man Torment. You know, so those who don't know, back in the day when he was the main artist for Spider-Man, you know, when the thing over creators' rights started to pick up. Marvel decided to Spider-Man title that he could both write and draw. It sold really well, but Yeah, you kind of have to just read it yourself. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah.
It is not good at all.
Well, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Until
he screws it up, then.
Yeah. So, with that, I do believe we've got a show, folks.
Yeah, yep. Hefty one.
Yeah, so I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you want to write into the show, have a question you want us to answer, or just have us read something out on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's L-E-T-S, Let's Weekend, W-E-E-K-E-N-D, ERS, E-R-S, @gmail.com. It is plural. I need to remind people that.
Yeah.
Also, on top of iTunes, you can also hear us on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, your toaster oven, your shower head. In fact, I'm pretty sure if you press some odd buttons on your printer, we'll show up on there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with all that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. For Filippo Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi, I'd like to say goodnight. Like it or not, Donald Trump is still our president. But not for much longer.